You can take your Bibles this morning, open them with me to the book of James, James chapter 1. This morning we're going to be studying James 1, verses 19 through 25. Now, as we turn there today, I wonder how you're feeling this morning as we open up this text together. For example, are you looking forward to hearing this sermon today? Are you eager to look into God's Word? To be honest, are you perhaps more eager to, get past the next hour onto whatever else you've got planned for today? Or some other questions. What do you expect from this sermon today? We all bring expectations to virtually every public occasion. Parties, meals, meetings, sermons. So what do you expect from this sermon? We could answer that in a lot of ways, but I want to focus on one angle on that. Do you expect God to speak to you through this sermon? Do you actually expect to hear from God as we open up His Word together? And then a final question. How committed are you right now to not just listening, but to doing everything that God tells you to do today? Well, perhaps you'd say, I don't even know what these verses are about. Or what is God even going to want from me from this text? So how can I answer how committed I am to do it? I don't know yet. Now I want you to think about that. It's an interesting thought, because that line of thinking sort of implies that we don't make up our minds about what we'll do with God's words until after we've heard the specifics of what God wants us to do. In other words, after we've heard what God wants, we then decide how responsive we'll be to it. Is that a good way to approach the words of God? Think of it. At what point do you make up your mind about whether or not you'll obey what God is going to tell you today? Now, this morning, we get the uncommon privilege of looking at a text in the Bible about the Bible. Okay? We get to look at words from God about how to think about the words of God. In other words, God Himself tells us in the text how to approach His words and what to do with His words when we hear them. So I hope that this sermon today will actually be used by God to influence and shape your day-to-day reading of the Bible and our week-to-week gathering as God's people, because it is about how to listen to the Bible and what kind of attitude to have when we hear the words of God. So let's look this morning at James 1, verse 19. James says, "Know this, my beloved brothers. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls." Now, there's a lot to think about just in those couple of verses, but the question I want to start with is, when you look at verse 19, and James says, "Let every person be quick to hear," the question is, what exactly are we supposed to be quick to hear? For example, let's suppose that you walked into my home this afternoon. Many of you have seen that my wife likes to put a Bible verse or two on this like chalkboard-like thing that hangs above our couch in our living room, okay? So let's suppose that you went in there and you saw James 1:19. It'd be a great verse to put up there. But this is all that you saw because it was just written on this one standalone thing. Let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. Good counsel for our family, right? How would you interpret that line if it were all by itself on the wall? What would you think it means or that James was getting at to say, be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger? See, on its own, it seems like it might be just some wise advice about being a good listener. And there are actually many verses in the Bible that teach that, like especially in the book of Proverbs. Just listen to, this is from Proverbs 17, a very interesting verse. It says, the one who has knowledge restrains his words, and one who keeps a cool head is a person of understanding. And there's all kinds of verses like that in the book of Proverbs. Is that what James is getting at in this verse? Be quick to listen, slow to speak, slow to anger. Is that all that he's getting at? Okay, here's my take on this. I think it's possible that this could be all James is saying, that he's giving a wise saying. It's certainly biblical advice to be slow to give your opinions, quick to listen to other people. Okay, I mean, maybe that's all he's saying. But I'm not sure. I think that has something specific in mind that he wants you to be eager to hear. Why do I think this? How would we know this? What if we wanted clues from James about what specifically he wants us to be so eager to hear? Where would we find those clues? And I would say, how about in the verse right before and the verse right after? Verses right before and right after. Because look at verse 18 again. So this is James 1:18. We looked at this the last time we were in James. Of his own will, of God's own will, God brought us forth or gave us new birth through the word of truth so that we would be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. That's the first mention in James of the word of truth or the word of God. And in that verse, James is pointing out how good God has been to us, how much God has given us. And he says, and he highlights one thing, God has given us new birth, new life, regeneration, new hearts through the word of truth. And then you read the very next line. Know this, my beloved brothers, every person must be quick to hear. Hear what? Now maybe it's just be a good listener to all things, but I think there's a good case even already that be quick to hear is going to specifically apply to be quick to hear God's word. So earlier in James, as James is talking about how to make it through hard times, do you remember this? He's already encouraged us to, when you're struggling and you don't know what to do, what should you do? Run to God in prayer. Ask for help. And then James encouraged us, and make sure you never turn away from God in hard times, that you never like blame God, saying, God's against me, or anything like that. And now James encourages us, and be quick to hear. To hear what? I think it at least includes being quick to hear from God. Be quick to listen to God. But it's actually the verses after this that make me think that this is what he's talking about. Look at verse 21 again. James says, therefore, put away all the filth and bad stuff, rampant wickedness, and in meekness receive the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. So in verse 18 The word of truth is what gave us new life in the first place. That's back when we heard the good news about Jesus, how he could forgive our sins, how he died for us and rose. And God gave us birth, new life through that message. And now James is saying that the word which has taken root in your life, which has been implanted in you, which is like a seed that's been sown in your heart and has now sprouted, you need to keep welcoming the word. Keep listening to the word of God. Keep receiving it in humility. Because the word of God is not just what gives you new life in the first place. You notice what he said. It's what's going to ultimately save your soul in the end. God's word is what gives us life at the beginning, and it's what sustains and grows our faith all the way until the final day when we're saved in the end. And so if you're following me here, I'm simply suggesting that this whole passage is primarily about the Word of God and how we approach it and what we do with it when we hear it. So verse 19 says, "Know this, my beloved brothers and sisters, every person must be quick to hear." To hear what? I think primarily, be quick to hear the words of God. How should we approach the Bible? With eagerness to hear from God. The word of God is what God uses to bring us to himself and to sustain us and grow us all the way to glory. And so every person has to be quick to hear, eager to listen. And James goes on to say, and be slow to speak and slow to anger. And again, that's good advice for life in general. But here I wonder if James isn't warning us about being slow, particularly to speak back to God about what he's doing in our lives. Or slow to say bad things about God, which is what the previous passage was all about. In your suffering, don't start blaming God and getting angry with God, because that will never produce the kind of stuff God wants to produce in your life through these hard times. God wants good in your life. And if you start speaking against him, turning on him, blaming him, getting angry with him, it will never accomplish the righteousness that God wants to see in your life. What we need is to listen to God. Not to become angry with God or with others, which is something that regularly happens, unfortunately, when things are rough. Hard circumstances often make us more on edge, quicker to lash out at God, to say things, think things about God that we would never think in a good day. Lash out at God's people, quicker to become angry at our circumstances or even worse at God. James is saying don't give in to that, because that will never bring about what God wants in your life. But look at verse 21 again. Instead of lashing out or getting angry, what should our attitude be toward God and his words? Not anger, but notice what he says in verse 21. So put away all the bad stuff and receive with meekness or with gentleness or with humility the word, the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. I mean, what is this verse saying? Verse 21, put off the bad responses, the anger, the evil thoughts, the junk in our lives that so often distracts us from hearing God, and receive with humility the word that God has planted in your heart, the word which we hear preached, the word which can save your soul. So if you step back from just verses 19 to 21, you think, how should a person approach the Bible? This is one of the clearest texts of at least two of the main things that always ought to characterize our approach to the Bible. One is an eagerness to hear it. and two is an attitude of humility toward it. When you see that, be quick to hear, eager to listen to God. Did you come to church expecting to hear from God today? Eager, leaning in, wanting God just to speak. And then in verse 21, again he says, with the humble heart, with meekness, to receive the word. I mean, how do we come to the word of God? We come with a heart that is already submitted to whatever God wants to say. A heart that's already saying yes to whatever God wants to say to me. Because it doesn't matter what God wants from me. I've already said yes to it. If God, if you'll just show me, help me to see what you want. I'm yours. I'll do it. That's the kind of attitude, meekness, humility, submissive heart to whatever God wants to say. That's, I think, part one of this text about how to approach God's words. And then the second part of the text is about what to do with God's words. It's verse 22 and following. Verse 22, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What are we supposed to do with God's words when we hear them? Simple answer. We're supposed to do them, right? We're supposed to respond, to obey, to act. It's one of the major themes of the whole book of James, in fact. The need to act on what we already know. To do what we know God wants us to do. Be doers of the word, not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. What does James mean by when he says deceiving yourselves? I mean, think of this. If you sit here week after week, and you get up morning after morning, read the Bible, you keep hearing God's words time after time, but you don't actually respond to what you're hearing, James tells us you're in danger of deceiving yourself. Now, do you realize how dangerous that is? Now, the truth is, when we think of even with one another, we can deceive each other. It's not that hard. We can do this for a long time. We can deceive people into thinking we actually are responsive to God. It's very possible that no one else will know. Like, we can come in here, sit attentively, hear God's words, and yet not do anything with them, and it's hard for other people to know. We can fool people. We can go to our growth group week after week and talk about what we're reading in the Bible without ever actually obeying what God is telling us. And it's possible we can deceive other people about who we are, about what's going on in our lives. And that is dangerous enough to deceive other people. But do you know what is more dangerous than that? What James says is that if you keep hearing the word, but you don't do anything with it, you're in danger of deceiving yourself. In other words, if you keep on hearing and keep on not doing, one day, you won't be deceiving other people anymore. You may eventually deceive yourself. You may lose sight of who you really are, of what you really look like. And so look at what James says in verse 23 when he describes what that's like, a person who keeps hearing but not doing, who deceives himself, who forgets what they're even like. Verse 23 says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he's like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror, for he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. Now, if you followed that illustration, I mean, can you even imagine that happening in ordinary life? Someone looking at their face in a mirror and seeing the condition of their face, that it's dirty, for example, and then walking away without doing anything about it, only to forget what you even saw. It's hard to imagine, perhaps, you know, for yourself, that you would ever possibly do that. And yet, how often does this happen with us and the Bible? We hear God's words. We look into its pages. And in it, what does God show us? He shows us many things about Christ, for example, but one of the things that he shows us is he shows us who we are in the Word, what we're like. And God reveals to us the things that need to change about us. And yet what often happens? We simply do nothing with what we hear. We soon forget those days when our hearts were tender and God was calling us in specific ways to follow him or turn away from sin. This is a constant danger for the people of God, that we hear God's words a lot. I hope you read God's words a lot. But the danger is when you hear God's words over and over and you don't do anything with them. One day you will deceive yourself and you won't even know. You'll think you're okay because you weren't responding. And you think of the text that was read earlier from Matthew 7. I mean, what James is saying here is so similar to what his brother said, what Jesus said at the end of the Sermon on the Mount. You want to talk about deceiving yourself? I mean, think of the scene that Jesus was talking about when he was saying, many will say to me on that day, Lord, didn't we do all this stuff? We were your people. We were trying to do stuff for you. I mean, it looked that way to everybody. And then Jesus says to them, I never even knew you. And then he says basically what James says here. Therefore, whoever hears these words of mine and does them, that person will be like the guy who built his house on the rock. And his house stood because it was built on the rock. But whoever hears these words of mine and does not do them, when the floods come, that house will crash and it'll be a terrible, terrible fall. It's the same sort of thing that James is warning about here in this text. But this does not have to be your story, right? There's another path that James lays out that leads to something far better, to true joy. Verse 25, our last verse for today. But he continues with the illustration. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. That's the second time in James he shows us the path to blessing. First time, remember verse 12, blessed is the person who remains steadfast under trial, who will persevere in the hard days and keep loving God in them. And then verse 25, blessed is the person who not only hears God's word, but who perseveres in doing it. That's the path to God's blessing and great joy. Now, at the beginning of our sermon today, I asked you some questions about this sermon. I asked, are you eager to look into God's word today? I asked, what do you expect from this sermon today? Do you expect God to speak to your heart through this sermon? And then I asked, how committed are you right now to not just listen to what God says, but to obeying what he says? Now, I asked that last question specifically to get us to think about when it is that we decide whether or not we'll listen to what God says. And I want to suggest that the best answer to this is that we come to the Bible already saying yes. to whatever God wants to say. The Word of God is what brings us new life in the first place. We're born again through the Word. The Bible is what sustains and grows us all the way to glory. Of all the things that being a Bible church might mean, I hope it communicates that we want to be people of the book, people who are eager to hear from God, people who are committed to doing whatever God wants us to do, who say to God, if you'll only show me, just show me what you want, I'll do it. I've already said yes. Are we that kind of people? Am I that kind of person? Are you? I mean, and think practically. When's the last time you read the Bible on your own or with others, or you heard the Bible, and it actually changed something that you did in the next 7 days? It's a good question to ponder. Maybe something you can't come up with an answer immediately. But, you know, that ought to be happening regularly. We hear God's words, leaning in to listen to God. God shows us who we are, how he wants us to change, and we do it. That's the normal Christian experience, according, I think, to Jesus and to James. And I know that I need this sermon myself. I need the warnings in this text as well. Because after all, I think I teach the Word of God for a living. And I know, perhaps better even than others, how easily I could deceive myself into thinking that because I hear the Word so much, I'm doing fine. Hearing is not enough. Hearing is necessary, indispensable, really. We need to hear God's words. We need to open it up. But hearing the Bible is never enough in the Bible. So as we close this morning, I thought it'd be good maybe to take us to another text and just let us listen one more time to the words of God. I want to take you to the text that I think is the most similar in the Bible to the text that we were in today. It was written by Peter, so it's just over a couple pages. 1 Peter chapter 1, because it's going to shed light on this passage, reinforce what we heard today. 1 Peter chapter 1, and I want us to close by listening to the words of God, and hopefully by praying that God will help us to respond how he wants. 1 Peter chapter 1, some great things in 1 Peter 1, especially like verse 18 and 19, when Peter talks about how we were ransomed, not with perishable things like silver and gold, but verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without blemish or spot. But I want to pick up the reading in verse 22, and I want you to try to listen, to hear the book of James in light of this text. So 1 Peter 1, verse 22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart, since you have been born again, not of perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding Word of God. For all flesh is like grass, and all its glory is like the flower of grass. The grass withers, the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news that was preached to you. So put away all malice and all deceit and hypocrisy and envy and all slander. And like newborn babies, long for the pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up all the way to salvation, if indeed you have tasted that the Lord is good. Let's pray together. Father, will you take this sermon today and will you produce in us the right kinds of attitudes towards your word? As we think of the new year ahead of us, we think of opportunities to be in your word, to read it. Lord, would you stir us up so we'll be eager to open its pages, that we would be like the psalmist. To say, I long for these words more than money, more than anything. And Lord, would you help us when we come to the word, whether it's in preaching or at our community groups or in private. Lord, would you help us to come with humble hearts, submissive hearts. We just want to know what you want from us. And Lord, would you give us the strength to do what you call us to do? The hard things, to say no to sin, to open our mouths about Christ. Lord, help us not just to hear, but to do of your good pleasure. And Father, I pray, I plead with you that there would not be even one person here today who would deceive himself or herself. Lord, protect us, I pray, from this. In Jesus' name, amen.